Well, welcome to SPED Homeschool Conversations. Thank you for joining us on our live Facebook broadcast, and for those of you who are watching us or listening to us on our recorded version of this session, either on Facebook, YouTube, or our podcast. Tonight, our special guest is Misty Phillip, a special needs homeschooling mom who is also a blogger, author, and a speaker, and has just a heart to encourage mom's hearts. And I just want to thank you, Misty, for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me on, Peggy. I'm excited about this.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm very excited with all that you have to share. I know you have a lot of background homeschooling and just a lot of heart for encouraging struggling moms. And we kind of all are there when we have kids that have special needs. And so I just want to thank you for being willing and open to share your story, to share the ups and downs, and to just encourage us with some of the wisdom that God has shared with you along your journey.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So to get us started, could you just share a little bit of your homeschooling journey and just kind of how maybe that got started and just take us as far as you want to go and we'll go from there.
Okay, great. Good? Absolutely. So God put on my heart that I was supposed to homeschool. And I came home and I told my husband, and he's like, that's weird. This was 20 years ago, and homeschooling wasn't nearly as popular. There wasn't nearly the resources that we have today. But my neighbor behind me homeschooled her three boys. She was just a little bit further down the road than I was. And I thought, that is the coolest thing. And I really wanted to homeschool. But at the time, I was working for Enron. I had a fantastic job. I only had to go into the office 2 days a week. And I lived next door to my mother-in-law, who took care of my kids. And I made really good money. And God said, no, you need to quit work and homeschool. And so we put our oldest, because my husband wasn't ready, we put our oldest son in kindergarten. And then we just saw his heart change a little bit. And we knew that just kids are just awful and they're mean. And he was really sweet. And so my husband said, let's give this homeschooling thing a try. Well, he was bright and eager to learn. And I was like, oh, I can do this. He, you know, the first one always tricks you because you think that they're so obedient and well-behaved that you're like, oh, I got this.
That was opposite of my story. Well, and my starter, I think the other way around like that.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people that, you know, they get into homeschooling because they do have a special needs child. Well, I didn't have any clue about special needs children. I did not sign up to have a special needs child. I'm like, God, you don't know what you're doing giving me a special needs child. And but the year we pulled Jacob out after his kindergarten year, Connor was born, and he was born with club feet. And we went from surgery at 2 months to surgery at 4 months to RSV to ear infection. I mean, you just name it and it happened to this child. The first doctor that cast him too tight. And if we had not been diligent parents checking his toes, we could have lost his feet due to circulation. But we joined a church that had a large homeschooling group because I knew if I was going to homeschool, I needed support. And their scripture that they founded the group on was Galatians 6:9 that says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for if we don't give up, we will reap a harvest in due time. And I clung to that scripture. I didn't realize how important that was, but having a homeschool group and having just that scripture to focus on really helped me to get through, because it was tough. Connor didn't crawl when he was supposed to. He didn't walk when he was supposed to. He didn't talk when he was supposed to. And because he had club feet, we didn't know, is he not walking because of the club feet? Is that why he's not crawling? Because he's got diapers? So there were just lots of questions. We were constantly in the doctor. He was always sick. And it was just really a struggle, you know, trying to figure out what was going on with him. And the day that I was supposed to give my boss notice whether I would work full time or stay home, Connor started having grand mal seizures that day. I forgot to tell you that part. And Connor seized for 3 days continuously before they were able to give him enough medicine to in his system to stop the seizures. And he laid limp or he screamed and he didn't sleep. And it was, you know, in a lot of ways, it was such a blessing that we were homeschooling because we didn't have to get up early to get out of the house. Right. There were just there was so much in those early years. It we did everything from neurodevelopmental therapy to behavior therapy, speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, horse therapy, water therapy. I mean, basically, you name it, sound therapy, vision therapy, PECs. We sensory integration, because he just was the child that just had everything. And the doctor had diagnosed him with PDD. So we thought he was on the autism spectrum with some OCD and with some sensory integration issues. And so we were just, you know, so here I had my typically developing, actually gifted, probably very bright son that I was homeschooling, and his younger brother. And then not too long after that, I had a baby that almost killed me. I had a severe ectopic pregnancy called a corneal pregnancy, and the baby attached to the outside of my uterus. And after that, things were rocky. But then I got pregnant again. But then I was on bed rest, homeschooling with a special needs toddler. I mean, that talk about fun, homeschooling from the couch for 7 months. But, you know, God was with me, and he did things in that time that only he can do. He provided in ways that, that I couldn't even understand. Just like when I quit working, he doubled my husband's salary to replace my income. Mm-hmm. When I went on bed rest, my husband took leave from his company, but they still paid him because they were being bought out by somebody else. So, you know, God has a way of working things out when we just totally depend on him.
And that's a good point. You know, we can't control our circumstances, but we can control how we respond to them. And, and really it's trust. And you know, you said homeschooling's hard. You shared that with me, and also that it's a lonely road, and it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes.
And through all of those things, I'm sure you learned that. You probably didn't start out knowing that.
No, I didn't. I had no idea. You know, I didn't even know what I didn't know when I got myself into it. But I clung to the verses in James 1:2-4 that says, count it all joy. But all of it, God wants us to count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. And I'm going to read it because I want to make sure that I say it right. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And that word steadfast there just means that we'll be able to stand our ground. So no matter what kind of trials come our way, because life happens, and job changes and sickness and all of those things. And when you're homeschooling in the midst of that, homeschooling, a typical child can be a lonely road, but when you have a special needs child, it can be especially lonely. Yeah. And so that's why leaning on the Lord and clinging to scripture is that those are some of the things that got me through. Mm-hmm. I want to share this other quote that with you by Edmund Clowney that I absolutely love. And it says, trials should not surprise us or cause us to doubt God's faithfulness. Rather, we should actually be glad for them. God sends trials to strengthen our trust in him so that our faith will not fail. Our trials keep us trusting, and they burn away our self-confidence, and that drives us to our Savior. Isn't that good?
That is a really good verse. I mean, it's what it's all about. But unfortunately, I think our human nature, we have to go through it to really understand how right that is.
Yes.
And otherwise it's a nice thing to hear. But I think, you know, as you do go through those trials, it becomes more real that is what's God's purpose in it. And it's not to make you miserable, because I think we tend to think that that's what all God is about when we don't get what we think we should get, or the answer to our prayer the way it should be answered, or the situation should turn out the way we want it to. So you have a story that showed how trials that you faced actually directed your path in a way that you hadn't expected. Do you want to share that with us?
Okay. Yeah. So, I was pretty overwhelmed by homeschooling the boys. Having three boys and having this special needs son in the middle. And I remember walking around the George R. Brown. That's when the Texas Homeschool Coalition had their conference there. So it was a long time ago. And it's a vast hall, and I'm pushing the boys in the double stroller, and I've got my son in the children's program, and I'm just going, Lord, what am I doing here? Like, are you sure that I can do this? I know you've called me to, but I do not feel equipped. And as I just walked around, I just prayed and I just asked the Lord to help me. And I met a lady there, and it was just a divine intervention because her son was on the spectrum, and she just had enough wisdom for me to enough to shine a light on my path. And she told me, you know, Misty, you're never alone. And just remember that God is with you. I'd just been praying, God, you know, and I know that, but when she said it, I was like, he's with me in my homeschool. He sees me. He knows I'm there. He knows the struggles that my son has. He knows that I'm incapable, yet he equips those that he calls. And one of the things that she had wisdom. And if you go to that verse in James, the next part of it, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously. He doesn't just give us wisdom. If we ask, he gives it generously. And so that's how I've had to approach my homeschool over the past 20 years. It's just every year, sometimes every day, like, what do we do today, Lord? Because things change and they don't work out, and each child is different. And when you're struggling to manage therapies and doctor's appointments and homeschooling your other kids, and you think it's never going to work out, but you just ask God, how can I schedule this? Help me. And he just always comes through. Sometimes we have to wait and be still to hear from him, but he does come through when we ask about that wisdom.
Yeah. And sometimes you not getting the answer is what you needed, because you need to sit and pray a little more.
That's right.
Or the plans that you maybe had for that day needed to be thwarted so that you could do something else.
Yes.
And the interruptions could take, you know, control. There were so many unplanned lessons in our homeschool that I think fall into those gaps when we're waiting.
Yes.
And we tend to stuff so much into our schedules that we don't leave room for God and his plans.
Yes.
In our homeschool day. And so, yes, praying for wisdom and then waiting. That's very wise advice to share. So that was encouraging to you then when you met this woman, and it was the divine appointment you needed to just get you to the next place.
Yes.
And God is faithful that he gives us just enough.
Yes.
To move us to the next thing. So how have you paced yourself, you know, through this? Because I'm sure there were times when you had a lot of things on your schedule, and there were sometimes that maybe you had a little breather room, but how did that look in your homeschool with all the therapies you were talking about.
Right. Yeah. And then having these bookend kids on the other side that have had completely different needs.
Exactly.
So I think extending myself a lot of grace, because those early days were especially hard. And I would call my husband. I can remember, you know, like, I would be hormonal and, you know, everything was hard. The boys wouldn't listen. It was just really difficult. And I'm trying to cook and clean and keep the house and homeschool and just all of the things we have to do. And he would say, you know what? Don't go against the grain today. And he said, when it's not working, he said, just stop. And so giving myself enough grace to know that it's okay, that we don't have to learn everything we need to know in their kindergarten.
Exactly.
And so I, on those days when it was not going well, I would load the kids up and put them in their car seats and drive to Chick-fil-A and listen to Adventure and Odyssey on, mm-hmm. on CD or some other biblical story or Bible songs, something to change their attitude, change my attitude. Everybody got Chick-fil-A, mm-hmm. and then I'd take them to the park and let them run while I just read my Bible and soaked mm-hmm. in promises that God had for me. Like, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans mm-hmm. to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, because we need that. We need to know that there's hope on mm-hmm. really difficult days. Yeah. We need hope. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes stepping away from the homeschooling is actually the best thing that you can possibly do. And then you start, mm-hmm. you get up in the morning and God's mercy is new every day. And so yes. you start over and mm-hmm. that's okay.
No, such good advice. Yeah. I love that. You know, just pack them in the car, take your Bible, have some lunch, go to the park. I mean, really, what your child can learn through play is probably much more than they're going to learn through the book anyways. and feeding them with God's word, feeding you with God's word, that's just priceless. Because, I mean, you and I both know, we have older kids, what lessons mattered most.
That's
and
right.
It was those lessons. You know, my kids don't remember the days working through their handwriting book and their math book, but they do remember the days that important lessons were taught.
Right.
And so, you know, taking that time, they always fill in, you know, the workbook time. It just happens. But you know, I love that you connect that with grace, because, and that you were wise enough to honor your husband and listen to his direction. My husband does the same thing to me. You know, I tend to get overworked up and, you know, you're so hyper focused in that,
yes.
that it's nice to have somebody from the outside. And if you don't have a spouse that does that, to have somebody else that you allow to speak truth into your life to tell you when you're a little off.
Yes.
It's so important.
Yes. Mom guilt is a real thing. And I think moms in general struggle with that. But I think homeschool moms struggle with it even more. And then when you have the weight, the extra weight of trying to come up with the best solutions for mm-hmm. children that have all kinds of issues, from cognitive issues to physical issues to behavior, or sometimes a combination of all of those things. But mm-hmm. each one of our children are different and they have different needs. And so when you stack all of that on with their education and their future, in a, am I teaching them everything that they mm-hmm. need? It's a lot. Yeah. It's a huge burden. So we definitely, right. we need other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just, as you started, you know, lumping all that stuff together, it's like the stress level rises, you know, because it just, you can feel it when parents come to you with questions about homeschooling, that they're carrying all this burden. And really the answer is grace. Give yourself grace and allow God to just lead you through it. So you have some practical tips on how to apply that grace, not just by going to the park and taking your Bible,
right?
but some pretty specific things that you wanted to take us through. So I'm going to let you
Great.
Do that. And
absolutely. Yeah. So the first thing I would say is starting in prayer. I mean, it was important for me to get up before the kids got up and have my quiet time before they got up and to pray at the beginning of each school year and just pray. I mean, mm-hmm. I had a friend who told me one time, wear your knees out in prayer. And I think that's the best mm-hmm. advice, because, that's what's going to make a huge difference. But at the same time, we need to have that time to listen, like we were talking about. So you need to create space in your life and in your schedule and in your routine so that you can hear from God. But then at the same time, this is something that I really wanted to say, but it's something I didn't do well. And so this is the one I learned the hard way. Get help. Because I thought I was super woman. I could, you know, cook organic food and make my own bread and homeschool and just do all of the things that we feel like we have to do. And really, right. it's when you have a special child, it's too much. And what happens is if you don't get help, you burn out. Yeah. And then you're not good to anybody because they need you to be whole and happy and healthy, physically healthy, spiritually healthy, and so that you can take care of them. So I would say get help.
Yeah, definitely. We talked about this last week with Melanie Wilson, and we had some suggestions for parents on how to do that. There's just so many ways. It's not just having, you know, somebody teach your child, but it could be even a homeschool student coming into your home that you train how to work with your kids.
Yes, I did that.
Want to go into some medical field, well, it's a good experience for them.
Absolutely. And just enough to give you a break, maybe so that you can go to the grocery store. I know that was, mm-hmm. for me, it was a huge challenge when Connor was young because he was so hyperactive. And mm-hmm. and then I had a baby. And so trying to manage, you know, a special needs, hyperactive toddler and a baby, right. And you know, it was really tough, and they didn't have all of those great food service deliveries like they do now. Even that's a help for yeah. special needs families, is to be able to pick your groceries up. Mm-hmm. That's a huge help. But that leads into my next point, which is soul care. Soul care is so important. And it's really a combination of the things that I've talked about. But something that I had to learn the hard way is self-care is not selfish. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that again. Self-care is not selfish, because if you don't take care of yourself, then you mm-hmm. can't take care of anybody. And for myself, I just was always taking care of everybody else. And because of Connor's limitations, I couldn't like leave him somewhere necessarily to go exercise. And, mm-hmm. you know, I let myself get overweight, and mm-hmm. then I would be depressed. And those are just not good things. So we need to make sure that we're going to eat a healthy diet, and that our kids need healthy food to support their brain function. And mm-hmm. a lot of times kids have special diets. So, you know, really thinking through some of those things, staying hydrated. I know it's really simple, but it's so important to take care of our bodies physically, and then rest, making sure that we have time to rest, and knowing that it's okay for us to leave our kids. And that was something that I had a really hard time doing when my kids were little. Mm-hmm. We were fortunate enough that my husband's parents lived next door, so we were able to leave them some, but we didn't want to burden them, and I didn't want to leave them. And and so as they got older, I learned that's okay. It's okay for them to have, it's actually healthy for them to have time away from you. And you need mm-hmm. that, because you need to have stimulating conversations with adults. Right. And so I think it's important to spend time with friends. Mm-hmm. I think having a community of special needs people is important, people that you can speak into their lives, and also people that can speak into your life. But I think it's also important for us to have friends that don't have kids with special needs, because our special needs kids mm-hmm. teach us so much, and they also teach other people. Other kids need to be around kids with special needs mm-hmm. so that they can understand that. And so it's helpful to have a good mixture of friends, and, you know, and sometimes just letting your friend watch your kids while you do something, and then you take and watch their kids another day. Even that kind of thing can be really, really helpful.
Yeah, but definitely.
I think that self-care, along with that, there are things that I know I didn't take care of myself really well, and then it caught up with me, and I burned out really bad. So mm-hmm. that's why I'm saying take care of yourself all along the way, whether, you know, that's take time out in your day to go sit and have a cup of tea. I know Sally Clarkson's really, mm-hmm. really big about that sort of thing. Go get a pedicure, leave your kids with your husband, and go to the bookstore, whatever it is that makes you feel good about yourself and recharges you so that you can come back and be the best version of mom and homeschool teacher that you can be. It's important.
It really is important. And if you don't, life will catch up with you and take that time away from you anyways. It happens. I had adrenal failure after only sleeping 2 hours a night. And learned that one the hard way, and then ended up having to sleep 10 hours a night for a long time to catch up with that. So it will catch up with you.
You know, Peggy, I met you and I was in a really desperate, I was in a really desperate place in my life, actually, because I had a bicycling accident where I broke both of my arms and I was unable to do anything. So I'm a mom in cast, you know, like this. So think about that just for a minute. I could not do anything. I couldn't brush my hair. I couldn't brush my teeth. I couldn't do anything for myself. And I lived in this house full of men who were used to a homeschool mom who did everything for them. And God just said, be still. He just sat me down. And in that time, we lost the insurance that was paying for Connor's therapy. And Connor's therapy was running about $5,000 a month. And I just was at the end of myself. I was like, God, there's no way that I can homeschool him with my arms broken. There's no way that I can, I couldn't drive. I mean, it took me a year to recover from this accident. And I just began begging the Lord, for your name's sake and for your glory, would you please do something for your son? I remember meeting you and I was like, what do I do? You know, and you can't tell somebody what to do. There's lots of resources, but there's no quick fix when you're in a predicament like that. And you can try lots of different things. But for me, what I needed to do more than anything was to just humble myself before God and surrender to him and realize that he loves my son more than I do. If that's hard to believe, but he does. Mm-hmm. And he's his child. And so I just started begging him to do something on his behalf. And in a way that only God can work, orchestrated a series of events. And, you know, I told you that Connor was diagnosed with PDD, which is the autism spectrum disorder. Mm-hmm. But during that time, we found out that Connor was never even autistic, that when he had those grand mal seizures as a baby, he had contracted encephalitis. And so he went all through his childhood and into his teen years, and we had no idea. The good news about that is there is a treatment. The bad news is he should have gotten it when he was a baby, but that wasn't even, they didn't even know that that was a thing there. But God knew, and none of it took him by surprise. And after I cried out to him, he got us in touch with this doctor who was able to map out his history. And then we started treating him for that. And he's made huge strides in the past 3 years since we got that diagnosis. And so, you know, I don't know how far God's going to take him, but I continue to pray for a miracle for him. But you know what? Connor's he's very happy. He's full of joy. And I attribute that to homeschooling because, you know, we were able to pour into him and he was loved. And so, you know, that's a really good thing. So even I'd just like to talk to maybe some parents that are having, you know, a really difficult time with their child. And just remember that God loves your child even more than you do. And so just go back to that verse about wisdom. Just ask him for wisdom and he will show you what you need and he will be there to get you through.
I so agree. You know, there were so many times in our homeschool that I would look at what my child was struggling with and go, I don't even know how to teach to this. I have no idea what I'm doing. And back then, there were no resources either.
That's right.
I didn't start homeschooling much longer after you did. And so you just sat there and said, okay, God, you just have to show me. You have to make me, you know, put in front of me what I need for this child. And it's different for each one because I had two struggling students. And so, and he was always faithful. I mean, there would always be something put in my path, whether it was a curriculum, a person, just a change in our lifestyle. you know, we and God upended us and put us on a farm for 5 years. I had no idea how dramatically and positively that would affect my family. Yeah. I mean, I started realizing after we were about to move to Texas, after we lived on the farm in Minnesota, how all the prayers I had prayed when my children were small and we first started homeschooling had been answered while we lived there.
Oh, praise God.
But you look at it and go, well, how was this going to fix that? But it did. You know, it solved so many issues and heart issues and other things that I just never foresaw. So, I love what you said is God knew it and none of it took him by surprise.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't. And we seem so surprised that God's way worked when we shouldn't. But it's so hard to trust. Just the day-to-day walking, that stepping. And it goes back to praying. And we've got some time, and I just really wanted to maybe ask you if you can share with us, just walk us through for a mom who maybe doesn't understand what prayer is, what is not the mechanics of it, but what does God really want when we come to him in prayer? And what is that relationship about?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. God wants more than anything. He wants our hearts. Mm-hmm. He wants our time. He wants our obedience. So that means what that looked like in my life was, you know, spending time in the Word. And then while I was doing dishes, talking to God, and while I was picking up toys, and while I was changing diapers, and while he just wants that constant communication. And then when he does speak into our lives, he wants us to be obedient to what he asks us to do. So for me, when he told me to homeschool, I knew I was supposed to, but I was like, how am I going to even do this? And but when I was obedient to him, that's when he really rewarded us. And so, prayer, there's lots of different ways that you can pray. There's lots of different ways to take in the Word. Like you were talking about the mechanics of it, but really it's about surrendering our lives and our hearts to him and just saying, your will, God, not my will, your will be done. Show me your will. Teach me your will. My life verse is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Cause that's what trips us up, is our own understanding. And so in all your ways, acknowledge him. So that means when you're doing the laundry and when you're in carpool line and all of the things that you do, and then he will direct your paths. So,
Yeah, that's so good. I had years ago, God just laid on my heart, this is worship. And so, you know, everything that you do in obedience is worship, whether it's doing laundry, it's doing dishes. And so I got to a point, because I could not convince myself of that, I took a bunch of those tiny little post-it notes and I put TIW on all of them. And then I stuck them everywhere on my house to remind myself. And I remember pulling out a board game years later, and there was one of those post-it notes. And it just reminded me, taking time to play a game with my kids is worship, if that's what God has set in front of me.
Yes, that's good.
And so it is. It's a constant walk of obedience. And yes, that's so wonderful. It's just, you know, that constant conversation. I love that.
Well, and I think being in the Word is important, because we have to know what the Word says, and we have to hide that Word in our hearts. And, you know, talking about the post-it notes, I put scripture verses all over my house. So I would constantly, when I opened my kitchen cabinet, there would be the Word. When I went to my bathroom mirror, there would be the Word, because I needed to constantly be reminded of his promises to me so that I could cling to those promises.
I said them out loud a lot. Yeah. I struggled with anger as a young parent. Uh-huh. And I actually am writing about that in a series on our blogs or on our website right now, and how to handle that in a godly manner. God actually healed that in my life.
That's great.
when we got to that point where I was still dealing with that, I would read them out loud to the point that my kids would say, "Are you cursing?" I'm like, "No, I'm praying." But you have to implant them in your heart, because when you read them and just memorize them in your head, they aren't real. Yeah. You know, not until they sink in far enough that you're convinced that that is truth.
Yes.
And so,
that's good.
Yes. Put it everywhere in your house. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. Your husband might not be happy if he tends to be a very neat freak. And I know.
Yeah, that's why I had him on the inside of my kitchen cabinet. So I
that's
would
a great idea.
And I would have them filled with scriptures. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time with three boys in the kitchen. I spent a lot of time in the kitchen.
Yeah. So. That's good. Yep. And our husbands only look for a glass or a plate when they open those, and then they shut them again. So good place to put them. I had them on the back of the bathroom door too. So whenever I closed the bathroom door, I was alone and I could read the scripture verses on there. So, but yeah. So we have some viewers with us. If you guys want to say anything, I know we've got Wanda says, "Hi, ladies."
Hi, Wanda.
And then Amy, this is based on our conversation earlier, but she was talking about how she finds her son is more focused after a day or two off. And we were talking about, you know, just taking that time and not thinking that you have to get it all done.
Yeah.
So definitely. Even our kids need rest. We forget that even though they're hyperactive.
Right.
That God tells us all to rest. And that may look a little different, but definitely they just need that break too. So I have a question for you. So with your typical kids on either end and then the struggling learner in the middle, how was that to juggle? I mean, we talked about, you know, the therapy and things like that, but what about just day-to-day things that, you know, plans or lessons that, you know, you wanted definitely the two typical learners to still be getting, but then, you know, probably a lot of your energy and time was focused on Connor.
Yeah, absolutely. Organization was really, really important. I learned early on that I needed to be organized, and I used managers of their homes when, and so everything was scheduled on a 30-minute time slot. So I would be working with one child, and then I would go to work with the next child. And then, you know, I would have the older children work with the younger, you know, and just whatever I could do. And it constantly would change based on the school year, based on our activities. I tried to do as many things as I could in the house. So having the piano teacher come to the house to teach the kids music lessons so that I didn't have to be out, so that while the kids were with the piano teacher, I could then be working with my special child. So it was a lot of juggling, but also a lot of planning. One of the things that I did on the weekend was I tried to batch cook. So we would grill a lot of chicken and then put it in bags and cut up my vegetables and prepare so that I didn't have to think, because having three boys in the house, they eat a lot. So food is something that's constantly on their mind. And so whatever shortcut I could take so that it made my life easier, I did those kind of things. And then, you know, you probably heard about, you put the big rocks in first. So what are the most important things? And so for me, the most important things were me being in the Word and me being with God. And then, just everything else after that, you know, for my oldest son, maybe it was math that was the most important thing. So I focused on math at the beginning of the day, because I knew that later in the day we would be going to speech and debate club. So it just had to be really organized, and just need a good dose of organization.
Yeah. And that's hard for some parents. I think, you know, again, give yourself grace, like you were saying earlier. And you may not start out super organized, but if you leave it again in God's hands, and I know you would agree with me on this, that He will give you the organization you need.
Right. And now I'm not saying your house needs to be perfect and it doesn't need to look like the cover of a magazine or anything like that, but just being able to schedule yourself so that you know the activities that you need to do, that you know these are the things that are the most important things that get done today. And how can I arrange my schedule so that that happens? And then some days those things don't happen. And then we just have to know that that's okay too. Like you said, it's maybe a divine interruption. And,
Yeah, it really is. And I love those tablet planners now. They've got these once a day planners and they have like the three top things right on there. So you can write your three top things. I've seen them everywhere. I use them a lot too, because it helps me to focus. Okay, if I get anything done today, those are the three things I really have to focus on trying to get done. The rest, then it gets pushed off to the next day.
But we did a lot of schooling in the car with the older kids too, because they would come with me to therapy. And so we did a lot of literature-based work, so because they could always read, and I knew if I taught them to read and taught them to read well, that they could teach themselves anything. So we always had books in the car going to therapy, and we joked for a while that we car schooled and not homeschooled, because we were going to the doctor or going to the hospital, or Connor had surgery, or but school still had to get done. So
Well, Amy had said, I plan my homeschool by the week, so I know what I want to get done over the week. Yeah, definitely. And put it in pencil, too.
Yeah, I've heard that. Right. Yeah. So I would plan the whole year, like big picture, and then I would plan a month. And then I would plan a week at a time. And there were lots of where I had to cross it off and move it to the next day.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think being flexible, that's another thing, is you just have to be flexible, because life does happen in the midst of your homeschooling. And so you just do the best you can and know that there is grace, that God covers it. We live next door to my husband's parents when the kids were young, like I said, and both of my in-laws ended up having brain tumors at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And that was one of the most difficult seasons I think we were ever in. And it was during that time that we didn't do a lot of school. We did the bare necessities, and it did not, it didn't hinder us in any way at all. So sometimes we feel like we have to get through this book, we have to get through this curriculum, we have to, but that's not necessarily true. For that season, it was more important for my kids to learn how to take care of their grandparents and to serve them and to minister to them. And we did do school. I'm not saying we didn't do any school. We did, but we only did the things that were most important for that season. And then the season was over and we were in a different season. So.
Yeah, definitely. And, I'm going to let, and I'm sure you learned this lesson too. I remember when I was graduating my first, and I was praying and talking with God, and I was like, but I'm not done. There's so much more that he has to learn. He's not ready to go. Please just let him stay another year, And God just kept saying, no, let him go, and he just needed to go. But you're not going to teach him everything.
Yeah.
And again, it's back to kind of what you were talking about. You equip them to teach themselves to learn.
Yes.
To whatever capacity that is, during their schooling years, and you've done your job. And, if you've been obedient in every lesson that God has given you, and, he gives you grace too. by the end, they're ready. Whether you think they are or not.
And even when they're not, they can always call home. I had a phone conversation with my eldest son today, who's now graduated from college and married, and, little things come up, and he's like, hey, what about this? And I'm like, well, have you thought about that? So you don't have to teach them everything that they need to know, because there's Google.
Right. And really, do we know everything we need to know? No. Still not at this age. No. So yeah, it's definitely not something to stress about. And if you missed it, you know, I didn't become a good writer until after I had kids. So it doesn't mean that, you know, my education failed me, but it just meant I needed to wait a little bit longer till I was ready and had the time. So, yeah.
I didn't learn history until I started homeschooling, which to me, it was really boring until I brought it alive for my kids. And then I learned way more than I ever thought I would. So,
yeah, that was the subject that I definitely did not enjoy in school either. But historical fiction just opened windows for me that I had. You don't connect it with real people's lives. And I think
absolutely
homeschooling history does that. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to share with your kids is the real experiences of people in the past. And we've always loved, you know, Christian biographies. And I don't know if you read those with your kids. I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we had your story hour tapes and CDs, which were all great stories, biographical stories of men and women of God, and gave them an example of, and then historical figures. And I utilized that a lot, especially when the boys were young, because, and we read a lot. So that, like that year that I was on bed rest for most of the year, we spent the majority of that year just reading. And, you know, that was one of our sweetest homeschool years. It ended up being because I couldn't do anything. And so I could read, I couldn't get off the couch, but I could read and snuggled up in my lap. We had a great time. So
and they do. They learn vocabulary. They learn good literature, how to speak well. You know, you don't really realize what reading to your children teaches them. You know, it's so much more than just a story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And those good character lessons. I mean, you don't really realize. I mean, you can read a book about somebody, you know, having a dog and taking care of it and, you know, and you know, all good and fluffy, happy story. But when they realize that somebody has persevered through something and God has actually orchestrated their life and they see the hand of God in this person's life, it's different.
It develops their character.
It does.
It's a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. I remember we read about the Bible smuggler. I can't remember his name.
Brother Andrew.
Yes. Yeah, my kids love that story. They're like, man, he was a bad guy. He was just, you know, not a good kid. And what did God do with him? He turned him in, you know, he used his sneakiness and whatever to smuggle Bibles and really used that for his glory. So I think, you know, especially when our kids are wrestling with their own character and things like that. Those are easy ways to instruct our kids.
Absolutely.
And I would have to turn it to, as we're talking about encouraging moms, reading biographies also for yourself.
Absolutely. And I think just reading widely for yourself makes you a more interesting person. And, you know, we need to continue to develop ourselves. We can't just pour everything out into our kids. But we need to make sure that we are making time for ourselves to read and to learn and to have hobbies and, you know, our kids can do some of those things with us. Like we started watching Bob Ross. Remember Bob Ross from the, with the hair from the 70s or 80s or I don't know when that was, but and my special needs son loves Bob Ross and loves to get the easel out and paint, and it's not a masterpiece, but he loves it, and so we'll all get our painting stuff out and paint together, and it's a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah, those are some neat things. And developing your interests or widening them with your kids also, it means so much more to have them along and learning with you. And so is painting the main thing at your house, or are there other things that you've delved into?
We're a little bit of a Renaissance family around here. I think we do a little bit of everything. Something I just found recently, Peggy, we'd been talking earlier about making movies, and your son was interested in making movies. Well, when my boys were little, we gave them a video camera, and that was the best thing that we could have ever done, because they came up with these elaborate skits of just stuff they had around the house, but they would come up with the storyline and they would act it out. And now that they're all older and, breaking my heart as they move on, you know, it's great to have those memories. It's so precious. I think it's, in our house, I think it's important that the boys learn to cook. And, and so we spend a lot of, my husband's Italian. So, you know, a lot of our time is spent in the kitchen, and we do lots of different things. I just think that makes them more interesting, and it makes us more interesting.
Yeah, definitely. It rounds them out as people. You're not just, it's a lifestyle of learning. That's kind of what my team likes to call it. Instead of just school and then home life, you know, you combine the two, and it makes you not want to not homeschool, because it becomes so enjoyable, you know, if you can embrace that. And
absolutely. On my Insta story yesterday, I don't know if anybody saw it, but one of my friends texted me. She was like, "Where did Connor get slime?" Because he was playing with the slime, and just his reaction to the slime was just absolutely priceless. And he had made the slime, and then he was playing with it. It was just, it was so funny. I had to videotape it because it was hilarious.
And those are the homeschooling moments that you definitely want to capture and that you'll remember. But yeah, so as we're kind of wrapping up, I'll just let our audience know if you want to ask Miss D any questions, or if you have any comments to help us wrap up, that would be great. Or just some of your own advice for encouragement would be great to have. But you talk about thriving, not surviving.
I was just going to say that, you know, that's, you know, I think in the early years we survived homeschooling. You know, by the time my oldest got into junior high, I was like, what am I doing? And I wanted to quit so bad. I was like, this is so hard. And my husband would say, no, you can do this. You can do this. And I think the more I relied on God, just the easier that it got, knowing it's not going to be perfect, knowing that life is going to happen and we're going to get off course, but we're going to get back on course. I think then I was able to not worry so much, and we were really able to thrive because that's what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to just survive and just barely get through. And that's why some of those things, like remembering to take care of yourself and getting help and having a community around you, all of those kinds of things can really help that.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes you do survive, but your goal would be to thrive. I guess is, you know, yeah. Definitely.
Well, and it can be, I'm here to say that it can be done. You know, my oldest son, he did live at home while he went to college, but he went to the honors college at Houston Baptist University and graduated with honors and, got the founder scholarship for that. And, I still have Connor and Ian at home, but Ian plays football and he's a varsity football player and has that whole experience along with all of his academics. And I just got Ian involved in the pro-life movement, and he made a video about a baby that we had with Trisomy 18 who went to be with the Lord. And, you know, it just making... having, you know, homeschooling and having the opportunities to get our kids involved in lots of different things and things even that they don't want to do that stretch them and grow them and challenge them, I think has been one of the best things in our homeschooling. And I think sometimes when we have special kids, it's easy for us to do like when my son was young, it was easier for me to dress him so that we could get on with our day. Mm-hmm. But that didn't teach him how to dress himself. And so sometimes forcing our kids to do hard things that are difficult for them, if we take the time up front to teach them how to do that, the reward pays off for years. I know for mm-hmm. Connor, potty training was one of the most difficult things that I've ever done in my life. But mm-hmm. I just thought about the future, and I didn't want him to be 20 years old and in a pull-up, because I knew there were people that were like that, and I didn't want that for him. And so I worked really hard day after day after day after day after day after day after year until mm-hmm. he finally had that, because it was that important.
Right. Yeah. And it's setting your goals. We often tell parents they should write, especially for children who struggle, to have three main goals a year. And it doesn't have to be related to a curriculum, but it helps you focus on those most important things, kind of like the daily test that we were talking about. Wow. You have to look out into the future, not just what is today. And that's so easy to do because you have so much going on, and it's right. So chaotic. But I love that, you saying, okay, when they're 18, when they're 20, is this something that we could have worked on so it wouldn't be an issue then?
Well, and don't give up. So like mm-hmm. Connor, I taught him, it took me so many years to teach him how to ride a bike. And he, because of his club feet and because his brain wasn't properly functioning, he could not ride bike. And mm-hmm. I duct taped his feet to pedals. I ran alongside him. He was never going to be able to get the balance part of it mm-hmm. because it was too much sensory information, and he has a lot of vision problems, just all of his mm-hmm. issues. I tried so hard. And finally, once his brain was healed, we got him an adult tricycle. And that was the best possible thing that we could ever do for him, because he was able to ride. And once he learned that, then he had some independence and some freedom. So mm-hmm. I guess I would just say, if something's not working, just keep looking, keep trying to figure it out. If it's a skill that you really want them to have, just keep working at it and try to think out of the box. So that works for us.
That's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah. It's not always, the end goal is not always going to look like a typical end goal.
That's right.
But it's still going to get them closer to being able to do something on their own. And that's, the more ability they have to advocate for themselves, to do things for themselves. That's what your goal is, just to progress, not to perfect. Yeah, that's what God expects out of us, right? Just that we get a little better and we learn lessons from the mistakes that we make and all the things that he's working on in our lives. And
absolutely. And he uses our children to teach mm-hmm. us a lot of those lessons. Our relationship with our children and the way we see our children is so much like the way God sees us. And I just am thankful that he loves me and he cares about me and he loves you and he cares about you. Mm-hmm. And, he just wants so much because we're his children. And so he wants good things for us and he wants good things for our children. And that's something I didn't say, and maybe this is a good place for me to say it to kind of wrap definitely. Things up. But, God has created each one of our special children and for a purpose, and he has a plan for their life. Mm-hmm. And whatever their disability is, from someone who has limited disabilities to someone who has severe disabilities, there mm-hmm. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of them and for their lives. And so asking God and seeking, like, what is your plan? Because Connor, he said his first words in therapy when he was five, and he said, "I don't want to." He screamed because I was like, "Do I have to keep him in a state of stress just to get him to speak?" But his mm-hmm. brain, the portion of his brain that was affected was the motor function portion. So he, mm-hmm. his language was delayed for years. And even now he doesn't have full language, mm-hmm. but he can communicate with us and he can mm-hmm. get his needs across to us. And so.
Definitely. Yeah. And every child has a purpose. My parents have adopted 10 special needs children. I don't know if you know that. So I'm the oldest of 14. Yeah. And my one brother just passed away a couple months ago. He had severe cerebral palsy. He was in his late 20s. They really didn't expect him to live past two. And so I was talking with my mom, and she was, you know, kind of just reminiscing about the impact that Nick had on other people's lives. You know, all the caretakers who came in to care for him, and just how he changed their lives.
Yes.
Because of who he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of his laugh, and because he could enjoy things from a perspective that we can't. And and so that was God's purpose for his life. And to embrace that for your child, that, you know, whatever God has for them as his purpose is important. It's part of the testimony that he's putting together on this earth.
That's right.
Someday we'll get to see it all put together. But it's important.
Yeah.
And just be encouraged that you're encouraging that part of their testimony to just live it out. Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you, Misty, for sharing your life and your encouragement with us. This has been such a good conversation, and I've just been blessed.
Thank you so much.
Our audience has too. So definitely, if you want to check out Misty's blog, it's mistyphillip.com. And I have that somewhere to share. I think I will copy and paste that up onto the board here, if I can.
Great. And I'm sorry, my friend texted me and said, I need you to look up. I was looking down so that I could see you. And so I apologize if y'all thought I was not looking at the camera. I was trying to look at Peggy, so I apologize about that.
There we go. But that's your website.
Great.
And so definitely check that out. She's got a lot of good resources to share on there just to encourage you. I love your heart of encouragement.
Thank you.
You know, for us that are encouragers, I find that I need it even more.
Absolutely.
Because you give it out so much and then you're like, oh, I need to be encouraged now. So definitely. Well, just thank you so much again for this time and for the hour that you've shared with us. I also want our audience to know, thank you for joining us on this live broadcast. And for those of you who listened to or watched our recorded version, next week we are going to talk about special needs and math challenges with Matthew and Alyssa Blackwood, who have a curriculum that they use. It's actually out of Canada, and I'm excited for them to be able to share some things that they have up their sleeve for just typical issues of dealing with math and how to either prepare for them or work around them, or just be able to answer your questions that you bring to the discussion. So in the meantime, make sure that you check out our resources on spedhomeschool.com, and also pray about being a donor partner with us, because we are 100% donor funded, and we appreciate having funds to pay our interns especially. So until then, we'll see you next week, and thank you for joining us.
Bye. Thank you, Peggy. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.